thank you all for singing that song. The song is "You're All on the Altar of Sacrifice Laid." We sing that, it sounds pretty, and it might even make us feel warm. It might make us, remember, I'm trying to please the Lord. But that's, I think that song, as a matter of fact, I know that song is asking a very serious question. And I think it's a question that we need to sincerely think about. It's a question that might even invoke a little fear inside of us, because as children of God, our all should really be on the altar. Our lives should be dedicated to the will of God. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice? Is it laid there? Is it laid there in that our hands are, we've taken our hands off of it? As always, I pray that God will give me a message that that's not something that I just decided I just wanted to do. And if I decide, I mean, it could be good. But I want to speak what I think, I feel that God is moving me to talk about. And so I've come this morning and want to talk a little bit about prayer. But prayer and desires as being something that are woven together. Prayer and desires that are woven together. And so I've written on the board, When in the heart of sorrows or conflict, may our hearts be toward God. When in the heart of sorrow or conflict, may our hearts be toward God. And I just, before actually starting, with the song and praying, I was talking about how two people that I know, they're in sorrow right now. One whose mom looks like she might pass away. Another whose brother has been in an accident, can't move, can't walk right now hardly. And life, somehow, it gives us different situations. And it's not always life that gives us a situation, but sometimes there are things that we do, and there are repercussions for what we decide to do in life. So I'm going to come and try to make some things clear. I want to look at two particular historical figures in the scriptures, two in particular. One is David, and I'm going to do a little paraphrasing or synopsis, if you will, about a situation with him. But then another is Hannah. I'm going to try to highlight one of those more than the other, but hopefully by the time that we get through speaking, this will give us some thought to ponder, and maybe we should, when we need something from the Lord, analyze determine and decipher. Is our heart really toward God with our desire? So when in the heart of conflict and sorrow, may our hearts in prayer be towards God. Prayer usually reflects a desire that we have and that we want God to give or permit something in our lives, in a situation or something that we just want. Sometimes we might not understand, is this really of God? Is this just of me? Am I being selfish, or is this something that God will allow? You know what I've found in talking with people? Certain things will happen in their lives, and it might not be something that God wants, but they'll say, you know what? God ordained for this to happen. And when I hear that sometimes, I'm just almost at a word, I'm almost at a loss of words, because I'm like, do you know the scripture? Because what you're telling me doesn't seem to line up with what it seems that God's desire is for his creation. It doesn't seem to line up with what God wants for his special people. So I say, we might have a question sometimes. Is my desire selfish? Is it just of me? Or is this something that God wants himself? So sometimes we might be perplexed, because there are certain situations in life where we might not understand. It's, what is the desire? In what is the desire seated or embedded? At times, I say, it may seem hard to know, and it could be rather complex or perplexing for us to figure this out. Now, I'm going to give you a little illustration about desire and whether to do the right thing or the wrong thing. And it's not necessarily with prayer, and then I'm going to go into it. When I was a student going to North Georgia College, there were times when I didn't have enough gas money, but I would make it up there because it's like, you know what, I got to get this class done, blah, blah, blah. And so one day I was up there and I found a parking space, because sometimes it would take 5 or 10 minutes to find a parking space. It's going to make a connection with this, because right now we're focusing on desire, but we're going to connect it to prayer. So hopefully you can follow me. Well, I parked my car after searching for about 5 or 10 minutes. And when I got out of my car, finding one spot, I was like, thank you. Thank you for letting me find this spot. Got out of my car after studying about 30 minutes, because I would try to get there and try to prepare if I had a quiz or something. I opened the door and I stepped out and I looked down and I saw some money. And did you know that I grew a little happy? I got happy and I was like, and I looked over and I saw a little bit more money. So I reached down and I picked it up and it was $10. And I was like, you know what? This ain't your money. But my desire was toward this money, and I wanted to put it in my pocket. I said there were often times when I didn't have gas money. So I looked around because I wanted to do the right thing. I looked around. There was nobody else in the parking lot. There was one car to my right. There's another vehicle to my left. And I said, well, the wind could have blown this here. What am I going to do? I thought to leave it there. I said, if I leave it here, somebody else is just going to be walking by and pick it up. I said, because I was like, what should I do? Should I take it to the office and say I found this money? I said, well, if I take this money to the office, I mean, it could have been the person's car that wasn't even right beside mine. I said, I think that it will be okay to keep this money. My desire was to put that money in my pocket. You know what I did? I put that money in my pocket, and I had no guilt about it because I didn't see a wallet. There was no wallet. There was identification. Now, had the experience been different and there had been a wallet there, I would say, I'm going to turn this into a lost and found or some office, and they could contact this person or whatever. No wallet, no identification. I said, what should I do in this situation? What is my desire? My desire was to do the right thing. Couldn't make connections. Didn't see how there would be a logical following to turn this into somebody. So I kept it. And then I had a little bit of gas money, and I used a little bit for lunch, too. Now, we ask this question in conflict and sorrow. What is our heart's desire, especially when we're praying? Well, I said we're going to kind of put two historical figures together. I taught a lesson that I believe God wanted me to not too long ago, earlier this week, I believe. And I mentioned a little bit about David, so I'm not going to go all into that. But I want, just for the sake of this lesson, to mention a few things about David. We know that David at one point went in unto Bathsheba, a woman that was not his wife. He did something that God did not want him to do. God told him that he was not going to be able to, the life of that son, or the product of that relationship, would not live. But we see in the scriptures, I believe it is 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter and the 16th verse. If you go and you look at that scripture, you will see where David fasts, he weeps, and he cries to the Lord that he will save that child. The problem is that his desire was embedded in something that was against the will of God. So there are sometimes in life where we have situations and we honestly will pray to God for help, for instruction, and or for deliverance, or that my will be carried forth. You and I as Christians or as individuals who should be seeking the will of God should be very careful about what our desire is. Because sometimes our desire will be so strong that we will fail to really understand what it is that God wants from us and the type of life that God desires of his children. David, a king, set up in a place where everybody would see him, had a desire that was against God's will, and he knew it, and he continued to pray anyway. God, I want you to change for me. A situation in which God was not going to change. Well, David, when outside of the will of God, knew that a child was to be born of him and Bathsheba. He earnestly prayed to God that the child would live. What was God's reply? He did not let that child live. David had to reap the consequences and the, I won't call it a benefit, but the product of his desire and his actions. Let us, as we live this Christian life, understand that sometimes our emotions, I repeat, will cause us to want something that God doesn't want us to have. What
should our desire be? What should it be? It should be to please God, even when it's against what our heart will tell us. Lord, he implored, he begged, and he cried, believing the scripture said that God might change his mind. Well, we understand that God didn't change his mind. The Bible tells us that we should guard our hearts with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. There are things that will happen in your and my life, and our heart will be inclined one way or another. That's Proverbs, I believe, 4 and 23. And we must be very careful. So we want to, as we go in and we focus primarily on Hannah, think about the juxtaposition or the historical figure of David and his desire. And look at Hannah. What was taking place with Hannah? And we are probably familiar with this text. But I am learning as I get older that we all not feel so familiar with God's word that we think that we can't learn something. What I am finding as I continue to study in God's word is I learn that God knows that you and I will sometimes either forget willfully or because we might be busy, because we might be getting older, but he would have you and I to be reminded of what truth is. Lord have mercy, if Adam would have remembered what the truth was that God would have given, maybe things would have been different. We're going to look at Hannah now. We're making a contrast with her desire and the desire that David had. So I would like for you, if you would, to turn to 1 Samuel. We're looking at the very first chapter. We're going to do chunks of scripture. We won't do the whole chapter, but we're going to really try to bring in what was going on with this. Dre, would you read the first five verses for me, please?
Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuth, and Ephrathite.
Okay, now, going through all those, they say, what? There was a man named Elkanah. That's the main thing I want you to remember. There was a man named Elkanah. Would you read the next verse?
And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters, portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb.
Okay, listen at this. So I want to talk a little bit about this. We have the name Elkanah, and Elkanah, we find, has two wives. And somebody said, well, the Bible says that it looks like God allows polygamy. No, he didn't allow polygamy, but he allowed it, but it wasn't something that he ordained to be. So we're not going to really get into all that, but the Bible mentions Hannah's name first. So the scholars believe, and I do too, that Hannah was his first wife. And because the Bible says that her womb was closed up, it is believed that he probably married this other woman because it was every woman's or man's desire to have children. It was also every woman's desire back then to be able to have a child to please her mate, if you will, her husband. But we see that there's a problem here. Of these two wives, one is able to have children and has children, and the other is not. We're going to find that there is a conflict here. And with this conflict will also let us to know that it is very probable again and right that God only wanted man to have one wife, because there's conflict between these two women. What is the conflict? The conflict is that Peninnah had children and Hannah could not have any. And so Peninnah is going to be like a thorn prodding at Hannah continually. So there was a custom, if you will, that every year that they would go up to celebrate at the tabernacle. Now, I was reading and studying, said that the tabernacle was probably about 16 miles from where they were. So they would go up there, and it's believed that it was the Feast of the Tabernacles. Well, at this time, the family could be a part of this. And so they would go and they would offer up sacrifices. Well, can you imagine that here's Peninnah with her children and Hannah has none? It's like a constant reminder that she has no children. If her husband married because she was unable to have no children, can you imagine a constant reminder that he loves me and he may love this woman, but here she is, similar to Sarah and Abraham and his handmaiden. Problems come like that. But let's look at the text a little bit further. Continue to read.
And her adversary also provoked her sore to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb.
Listen at this. It now refers to Peninnah as her adversary. In life, there are things that you and I want. And sometimes we feel like they're just things that are in the way and keeps it from us. But we should look at this text and understand that the Bible said God shut her womb up. God closed her womb. The sovereign God, knowing her desire, he decided that you will not have children. Why is that? We can't know the reasons that God does everything, but what we ought to understand as the children of God is that God, first of all, he makes no mistakes. How is it that we would feel that God makes a mistake when we haven't created a tree, when we haven't made an ocean, when we haven't done anything so magnificent as that? God shut her womb up because it was his desire. But as this text falls out and unfolds, we can understand that God knew what he was doing the whole time. There are certain situations in your and my life, and it may feel quite painful because this woman wanted a child. Don't you know that her pain was there, that she wanted this child? What is it that you and I have wanted so much that we have cried unto the Lord for it? I said that David had a woman that was pregnant and he wanted that child to be born, but that was outside of the will of God. All our desires inside of the will of God, so that when we pray, we can understand that this is something that God would be pleased with. Her adversary was like a thorn in her flesh, a constant reminder. It's like when we were children, sometimes our cousins or our friends would go, "Nah, nah, 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 I got this and you don't." Well, she probably didn't say anything like that, but there it was, the constant reminder. She didn't go, "Nah, nah, 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 but I got children." Hannah, what about you? Read, continue to read, please.
And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat.
Peninnah is provoking Hannah. Now, let me tell you what Elkanah was doing, because he thought he was going to make the situation better. Elkanah would give all of the family a portion to offer up. And so he would give unto Hannah. Also, he thought he was, what was it, soothing the situation, and that it would rectify what her heart would feel. How many of you women sitting here, sometimes you say, "My husband just don't understand"? Well, how many husbands sitting here sometimes feel, "My wife just don't understand"? And sometimes we may not understand, but I tell you who does understand. There is a God who sits up high and he looks down low and he understands every situation, every emotion, and every desire that you and I might have. He understood how Peninnah was provoking Hannah also, antagonizing her, because he knew that she knew that Hannah could not have children. So Elkanah tried to soothe the situation, but it didn't do anything for her. I believe she was probably grateful, but it didn't do anything for her. When there are things in our lives and people sometimes say things that try to help us out, whether we like it or not, we need to understand, even though our feelings might not gravitate toward that help, that God understands. But are we focused toward God? The topic is, when in the heart of sorrow or conflict, may our hearts be toward God. Now, there was probably something in Hannah that she probably wanted to get back at Peninnah. Can you understand that? Because the Bible will give us to understand, it looks like she's the one that the husband, Elkanah, really loved. But because I can't have children, well, here's this other woman. So Hannah probably wanted to get back at her, at least to make shut her mouth up. But she is going to lean toward God throughout the situation. Even, I have to say this about David. Even though David was seeking the wrong thing, he leaned toward God. You continue reading that text and we see how when God let that child die, David got up and worshiped. Lord, have mercy. Continue to read.
Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not?
Hannah, why are you upset? I know you want children, and I've given you something. What does he say here?
And why is thy heart grieved?
Why are you grieving? The Bible says, when I was looking this up, it says, why do you have a bad heart? Why are you resentful? Which gives us to understand that she was not happy about Peninnah. Sometimes in your my situation, we got certain feelings, and it might cause a resentful feeling towards somebody else who might even be trying to help us. We better be leaning toward God. He's asking these questions. I'm trying to help you. I don't totally understand it, but God is what you and I ought to know. But God, Lord, have mercy. Are you resentful in your situation? Are you leaning toward God? Are you prayerful in your situation? And where does your heart, where is it, where does it lie? Does your desire line up with what God would say is something that's advantageous for the kingdom of God in your life? Lord, have mercy. And Elkanah said unto her, husband,
am not I better to thee than 10 sons?
You should be grateful. You don't have children, but what I'm doing for you and the way I'm treating you, that's better than 10 sons. It's like, though you want one, I'm better than 10. Be grateful. I just don't believe that appeased her. Do you think that it appeased her? Here he is trying to do the right thing. The right thing is for us to be grounded in God. So she's going to go beyond that. Continue to read this, please.
So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore.
Now here she is. She's turning unto the Lord now. Now, Eli was the priest that was in Shiloh. He remained there. As you and I have different conflicts or sorrow in our life, and we feel that there are no answers, and we feel that this has been happening a long time, because what we should understand about this text is this was year after year after year, as they were accustomed to go to Shiloh to offer up these sacrifices. So all this time, her heart's desire was to have a child. There are different things in your and my life, and we feel like God is never going to deliver. Well, let me tell you, he doesn't have to deliver if he doesn't want to, but our heart should be inclined unto him. We see a woman in great need right here, and she is now praying to God. She's got an adversary. The situation looks dim to her. The situation looks like it's not going to light up or get any easier for her. You and I ought to understand that God understands all these things. Is the situation that we're in something that we've done, or is it just something that God is allowing? Either way, he can bring us closer to him no matter the cause of the situation. But we must be inclined to his will, not our will. Jesus taught those disciples, not thy will, but yours be done. We said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's what we need to understand. I just believe that we don't take advantage of the prayer opportunities that God gives us to commune with him. When we're really in sync with God, our prayers will line up with what he wants in this world. We won't have clear answers all the time, but look at what she's doing. She's seeking the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Continue to read, please.
And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid,
yes,
and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head.
If you can remember, O God, the fact that I am barren and I have this great desire, if you remember me, Lord, I make this vow to you. I make this vow that if I should have a man child, I will give him back. And I think this is a crucial part of the prayer right here. Because sometimes we believe that our lives belong to us. We'll ask God for something, and first of all, we might forget about God. Or we won't, whatever it is that He's blessed, we don't offer it back to Him. Anything that of God, the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from God. If God is to bless us some way, it should somehow be used. It should somehow be reflected for His goodness, for His kingdom. Lord, have mercy. It could be even possibly in a conversation or something. But we can't afford to forget God. Her truest desire was to have this child. But look at what she says in her prayer. It seems to go from beyond just the initial desire that I wanted, but I'm going to give it to you. Now, we understand that when I was looking, the Elkanahs believed that he was in one of the priestly lines. And so often the first child was to go to God anyway. But don't you know some people were trying to redeem the firstborn? She's saying, Lord, if you bless me, I'm going to give him back to you. How was she fair with her promise? The Bible tells us that when you make a vow, you don't neglect to keep that. Most of us sitting here that we have promised the Lord that we will walk with him. We have promised the Lord that we will follow him. But when it gets down to where the rubber meets the road, I believe there's no friction. There should be a holy friction in that when Satan tries to buffet us and turn our desire away from God, we should find that the rubber meets the road. There is friction and heat where the Holy Spirit will give us the power to resist the devil, and so he will flee from us, but we can be found pleasing God. Our prayers should be in line with the will of God. Our hearts should be inclined to him, not only in the good times, but in the bad times, in sorrow and in conflict. Where is our hearts? She made a vow unto the Lord. She made a vow unto the Lord because she understood something greater about life. It's you that allow certain situations and certain circumstances. And I say we get sometimes familiar with the scripture because we've read them. I've heard him. I get familiar with what I'm supposed to do. Well, why is it if we're so familiar, it looks like we don't know anything about it? We have to be familiar and then it's like a garment about us and that we can walk in obedience. We might have some stumbling sometimes, but we ought to get back up, recognize the Father and walk in obedience. He will bless us. He will bless us. He will bless us for his name's sake. Not our sake, for his name's sake. When his name is blessed, we reap the benefit of being his children. We will be blessed. We will be blessed. We will be blessed. What is true life about? Isn't it about your desires? Isn't it about my desires? It's about the desires of the Holy Father. Jesus said, you better feel the one that can cast the body and the soul into hell. It seems like God is a selfish God, doesn't it? Why is he making all his demands on me? You're breathing his air for Pete's sake. You know, I was like, when I was younger and I started thinking a little bit and I said, wow. It seems like God is just selfish. And I'm going to tell you, that's an evil thought. Nobody had to tell me. Because I knew when I had it, like, there's another person, like, what you doing? Who are you? But the world will play on that. The educational system will play on that. The media will play on that. I'm going to come back to the text, but I hope this is an application for us. They will play on it because what you feel is okay. What you think is okay. Your desires are fine. It doesn't matter. Why? If God loves you, then he wouldn't have made you have a desire for the opposite sex or the same sex. Well, he's got parameters. Our heart's desire should be inclined whether we like it or not. That's the thing. You want to be blessed? Have a heart towards God. Lord, y'all want me to be quiet?
No.
If you did, I was going to be, I'm going to keep talking anyway. You know what? Sometimes when the message is over, and we all go back home,
the message is over. But you already knew that. Let's get back to the text. She made a vow unto the Lord. I said, it seems that the desire transcended her initial desire of wanting, you know, she wanted Peninnah to see that I can have children. You notice she wanted to be redeemed in the sense of he loves me and I have a child. You know, she wanted to feel more like I'm a mother. You know, she wanted that stigma of being barren off her. The women didn't want that stigma. Think about New Testament, was it Elizabeth? She's going to have a child that was lifted out. It's almost a similar situation. So she makes this vow to God. She's looking to God and she says, remember, in the 11th verse, says, I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. Something that she cherished so much, she's now about to give away. She's giving it away. That's gratitude. That's really saying, sweet surrender, Lord. Sweet surrender. The 12th verse says, and it came to pass, time has gone through, and she continued praying before the Lord. Now, we sometimes are so faint-hearted that we will say, I'll ask God, and then another time you might ask God, and you say, that's all I'm going to do. Even David, he wasn't faint-hearted. Like, he knew that child was going to die, but I believe it was 7 days, he was on his face. His desire was wrong. But look at what he did anyway. I said when it was the child died, he got up and worshiped. Look at what Hannah, she hasn't stopped. We want to remember because we read this and we'll read over it and we won't get the full essence of it. I can't bring the full essence of it. This was happening year after year. This woman has been praying. When did you and I stop praying that God's will be done in your and my life? When did we stop praying for strength through whatever kind of situation it is? Sometimes it's got to deal with finances, but I'm going to tell you something. Finances is not the most spiritual thing, however it can affect your spiritual life. What about when death is about to be taking place in the family and we want God to do something? Do we pray? What about when we're weak and we know that our heart's inclined to follow Satan because we keep looking at the things of this world? Are we strong enough to continue to get down on our knees and ask God to give us strength? Or do we just yield? This is a warfare in this life that we live. It is a warfare. So it comes to pass that she continues to pray such to the point that the priest that was at the tabernacle, he mocked her because a lot of times centered around the festivals, there would be wine and sometimes people would get drunk. They weren't supposed to get drunk, but they would get drunk. But she was praying such that because in those ancient times, it was often that when someone would pray, you would hear the prayer. She was praying and her mouth was moving. She was praying from the depths of her heart because the desire was deep and it was rooted there. And she was praying to a God who set up high when her husband couldn't give her enough to satisfy her. When this priest Eli here, he couldn't satisfy, he misunderstood what was going on. She prayed to God. If someone doesn't understand your situation, pray to God. Sometimes we say people don't understand our situation, but you need to see if they're in the Word of God. I wanted to do like Ric Flair, but I couldn't get the whoo out like that. Couldn't get it out. She's still praying. She is not letting go of the desire. There was once a man who wrestled with an angel. He said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. When you want the Lord, the Bible says, if you seek him, he will be found of you. I told a gentleman one time, I said, if you really want the truth, keep searching. God will give you the truth. I don't believe he wanted the truth. I don't believe that he wanted the truth. He didn't come to God. He hasn't come to God. I want to look at the 15th verse. Would you read it for me?
And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord. I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink. but have poured out my soul before the Lord.
When Eli sees her, he accuses her basically of being drunk without knowing the full situation. She lets him know, look, that's not the situation. I have a desire. I'm praying to God because I need him to hear me. You don't even understand. That sometimes people don't understand. I believe he had issues because his sons were evil and he wasn't being as diligent as the priest of God as he should have been. But when others aren't diligent, will we be diligent? God is diligent. That adjective falls so short of what God is and how he is. I'm sorry to even use it, but for us to understand, God is faithful to his word. We said that she was barren. God is the one that shut up her womb. For what reason? So that she would fall on her face to him. There are certain things that you and I might be going to, but God is trying to make us. He is trying to mold us, and he needs our eyes to be singular, to be set on him. Stop worrying about the waves that gets tossed to and fro. Keep your eyes on the master. Now, that's easier said than done, but that's when the rubber meets the road. As I speak this afternoon, I got to remember when the rubber meets the road, I must bow my knees. I may not get on my physical knees, but my heart, my mind, my desire through conflict, through sorrow, must seek the will of God so that he can give me peace. Peace in the midst of the storm. Do you want peace? Oh, gosh. We forfeit the peace of God so that if the sorrow befalls us, if the conflict befalls us, because we have true life, we can go on anyway knowing that God is right, that God is true. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but his word is constant and shall abide forever. She tells him, no, I have poured out my heart before the Lord. That's what I'm doing. I want to look at the 18th and the 19th verse. And it says, and she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. She's still talking to the priest. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Woman did not eat before. Saul spirit. Eli the priest. Once he understands, he's like, go that way. Basically, will the Lord grant you your desire, your petition? Just because he said it, I don't believe it meant it was going to happen. It was God's desire. But during all those years, when she was praying and she didn't understand, could you imagine if she didn't put herself before the Lord? You and I give up too easily. We got to have the Spirit of God to give us strength to go on. Peradventure, he might bless us. Lord, have mercy. She went on and she was no more sad. Why? Because she had put her trust in God. She put her trust in God. There was no child at this point, but she put her trust in God. Her desire was linked up with God. 19th verse, and they rose up. This is the family again, Elkanah, Peninnah, and all them. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. In other words, he granted her desire, and she conceived. And we're going to skip a little bit because you can read this text on your own. She conceives, and as yearly they would go up to Shiloh to do the feast, the family continued to do that. But she promised, what was her promise to God? Can you, will you audibly tell me? She would give this child all the days of his life. Now, I've witnessed my wife give birth to our two children. I'll never know what that is. But there's some of you who know what that is. Would you give your child up? Now, I answered that question. I'd left it wide open. Some of us have given our children up, given them up to the world. Some of them give us back to God. But aside from that, would you give your child? No, you want to keep your child. You want to protect your child. Even when your child is an adult, your thoughts and prayers are still, Lord, please help my son. Please help my daughter. She's giving this child up. When you and I pray,
We need to understand that when our lives and when our desires and our prayers reflect the will of God, we have given it to Him because He's sovereign. No matter what happens, He is sovereign. She's given this child back to the Lord. It belonged to Him anyway. These lives are not ours. Especially if we say we're Christian. What? Know ye not that the body is your body is the temple of God? You can't do with it what you want to do with it. You have been bought with a price. When Jesus Christ shed His blood on the cross, He purchased your soul. He wants to redeem us. Our desire should be to please Him. So you're getting out of context. Let's go back to the context. They were going back up, and they were time, year to year, they would go up. And she says to Hannah now, says to Elkanah, I'm not going to take him up. I don't want to take him up. And I imagine the conversation perhaps was like, well, why? Or she just would tell him, I have given this child to the Lord. There will no razor come to his head. It's as if this were a Ninevite vow. The Ninevites weren't supposed to have strong wine, touch dead animals, have, thank you, what did I say? Thank you. That's right. Appreciate that correction. Correction can be sweet, right? Yes, it can. So, she makes a Nazarite vow. And she determines that I'm going to keep this child until I wean him. Now, the wean, for us in our society today, we think a few months, maybe 6, maybe even 8, 9 months, something like that. Some people longer. But in that culture, mothers were often wait until like the second or third year to wean their child because it felt like, well, if you get out, you might not be able to provide or whatever. So this child's probably 2 or 3 years old. So she is, if you continue to read about the life of Samuel, it's so sweet. It's so sweet. But she is training this child. She is teaching this child the ways of the Lord. She not only gives him to God, but while she has this child, she is dedicating time to teach this child about the ways of the Lord. Why? Because he's going to go serve with the priest and then be a mighty man of God. Yeah. Can you and I now look back since we really kind of understand this story and see maybe why God didn't want her to have a child in the beginning. He needed her to be prepared so that she could prepare this child. This child was going to go and tell Israel what thus saith the Lord. This man Samuel was going to rebuke, he was going to reprove, and he was going to instruct them in the ways of God and righteousness. Don't ask for a king. God is your king. Our hearts should be inclined to God. So this child was a special child. He needed her to grow. There are things that you and I experience right now. The death of somebody in our family might mean that we need to grow. What you want and may not be able to get right now could be that you need to grow. We used to sing that song. Leaning independent on Jesus, I'm safe and secure. And we just sung too many times. Now, I don't say this makes it easy for us because the rubber does meet the road. But in those situations, where is our desire? God remembered her. There'll be times when God will let certain things take place in our life because of a desire. But when we started out, and it maybe seemed like we got away from it, we were talking and stressing where the desire is. Mm-hmm. David's desire, he wanted that child. We can understand that. It wasn't the child's fault. God said no. Mm. Similar situation in that a child's involved. Hannah wants a child. God says yes. So as we're going through different situations in our lives, and we say, I can't understand what God's will is. If we've brought a situation upon ourselves and it's been outside of the will of God, and even if we're trying in the moment, look at David's life. Most times it seems like God says no. Now, what I did say is that God could take either situation and have us grow and become closer to Him. But we have to be inclined to His righteousness. This is for me. This is for you. Well, this is for the people who are not here. For His righteousness. God remembered Hannah's prayer. When it came time to give him up, she got that child ready, and they took him up to Shiloh, and they left him. They left him, but he was okay. He was okay because she had prepared this child with the word of God. She didn't have a faint heart in that she gave up. She felt the pain. She felt the situation. I'm not going to tell you that you're not going to feel the pain. I'm not going to tell you that you're not going to feel the situation. I'm not going to tell you that you might not even have a desire still to have something that God would not want. But what I am saying is that God wants us to obey Him. Lord, have mercy. Now, I'm nearing the end of where we want to go, but I want to look at just a couple more verses, at least in this text, and then maybe a few in New Testament. Same, I wrote it down wrong. Same book, same chapter, the 27th and the 28th verse. Could you read it for me, please?
For this child I pray, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him.
Read.
Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there.
This lent is not the best translation. She returned him to the Lord. Basically, we see in the scripture just kind of what I was saying. Now, we have a greater example. We looked at, I talked a little bit about David and his desire. We looked at Hannah, her desire, but there is one greater. You and I have a Savior who, before he died, he spent time in the garden and he wept, and he wept because he knew he was going to have to partake of the cup of suffering. But you and I often can say what he said. When the Lord grew upset with his disciples for not being vigilant or diligent with him in prayer and that they fell asleep, what did he say unto God when he was asking that cup be removed? He said what? Not my will, but yours be done. That's where we have to find ourselves coming. Mold me and make me, Father. As I close out, I'm going to read or refer to a verse. This is in James, the 4th chapter. If the Son of God says, not my will, but yours be done, then we should find that our lives and desires should really reflect the same thing. Now, I'm going to try and make some sense of this verse, and it may seem like I'm totally squeezing in here. The 4th chapter of James talks about some evil desires, and it starts out, whence cometh these wars and evil, basically, something like that, among you. So that little portion of scripture, James 4 and 1, is dealing with evil desires. In other words, when I was studying and I was looking, please try to follow me. When we have wars, when we have problems, it's always because of somebody's desire, whether it's a group of people or one despot, political despot or whatever. Well, if the desire is evil, it can cause conflict and war. Whence cometh it? From an evil heart. Now, James, of course, is giving them the words of God. In the beginning, he said, if a man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. In the situation and you need wisdom, ask of God. He will give it to you. He won't chide you for asking him. He's a father that wants to give unto his children. If the earthly father know how to give good, our heavenly father knows how to give much better than that. So I want to look at the 4th chapter and the 3rd verse of James. Remember, he prefaces this by talking about evil desires. Then he's going to say something about asking here. Why don't you get what you ask for? James, the 4th chapter and the 3rd verse, and I'm trying to make a connection here because we're still looking at desires and how desires can affect our prayer. Listen to this. Ye ask and receive not is what this says, because you ask amiss. Now that amiss, people say, well, you didn't have faith. It's not talking about faith right here. It's talking about because your heart was wrong. It's something evil in your heart that you want. So you're not going to get it. You're asking amiss. You might as well keep your mouth closed. Ask the right things of God. Jesus, let me finish this. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. It's the desire that's not right. David was asking something amiss. It was not something that God wanted to take place. So when you and I get confused, and we have been confused, I have been confused, we need to think, what does the scripture say about this? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? Well, what would he say? Search the scriptures. Lord, have mercy. We can begin to know the mind of God a little bit. But if we keep in it, he'll show us a little bit more. If we keep in it, he'll show us a little bit. He will show us what his desires are. Now, if we ask and amiss because we got the wrong thing in mind, we should not expect to be blessed by God. Lord, have mercy. Jesus said something in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John. He said, I'm the vine, you the branches, remain in me and I abide in you. You shall ask what ye will. Now, this is the thing. People will take that and they will abuse that scripture. John said, if I ask, so I'm going to speak this thing. You can't speak a thing into this world like that. Jesus said, I'm righteousness. And from me comes the source. From the vine, the product of the fruit is a grape. I will not give a fig. I will not give a piece of cotton. But you got to come from me. So when you ask, ask what I will give. You got your heart lined up with righteousness. Now, I've known some people who've had credit cards for their jobs. And when they go, they can't use that credit card for things outside of the business. It's not a part of the agenda. It's not a part of the program. Don't be spending on things that does not benefit this company. Jesus, when he says you ask what you will, it's because it's in my name and my authority, and you understand what I would okay. And that's how we need to think about this thing when we're trying to please the Father. So there are situations in life that's going to be daunting for us, but we got to hold on. We got to hold on. Now, is our all on the altar? For real? For all of us, is our all on the altar for God? Say, so you long for sweet peace, but has all laid on his altar. You have earnestly prayed. Does your heart the Spirit control? When we get the Spirit of God, and he will give it willingly if we continue to seek it. Jesus told the disciples one time, he said, I think that you ought to ask God that he will give you more of the Holy Spirit. That's something that we need to remember. So that as we walk through life, our desires will line up with his. And it is very human for each and every one of us to want things outside of his will, but we can't yield to that, because he wants to make us. As we continue to grow, there'll be certain things that we stop asking for, because we know, you won't even want it anymore, because you want to please the Father. So I get ready to close here. I'm just going to read this text one more time. This title: When in the heart of sorrow or conflict, may our heart's prayer truly be toward God. Because even if what we want is not of God, if we follow him and our hearts is inclined to him, we're going to be blessed. He will bless us and keep us. Lord, have mercy. Father, we thank you for your holy word. We ask that you give us the strength that we need, asking, dear God, that you will help us to mature in you. Give us the strength to desire what you want for us, dear Heavenly Father, that we may please you, that the kingdom may be edified, that we may be edified in you. Because we know, Lord, that you're coming back, dear God, for those who heard you, for those who followed you. Help us to trust you as Hannah did. Help us to be dedicated as Hannah was dedicated. Help us to give you or return ourselves to you, because we don't belong to ourselves. I pray these things in your blessed Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Are there...